इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हाय एंड वेलकम बैक टू इंडिया एट 70 हियर एट इतिहास। टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू गो बैक अ लिटिल बिट ऑन द हिस्टोरिकल टाइमलाइन ऑलमोस्ट टू 1960s एंड वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस अ टॉपिक व्हिच इज काइंड ऑफ वेरी क्लोज टू मोस्ट ऑफ द इंडियन हार्ट्स। आई एम टॉकिंग अबाउट द इंडो चाइनीज वॉर ऑफ 1962। Now, Indo-Chinese war remains that wound which is not healed because India lost that war. It has had some significant after effects. The war is actually heavily covered, or the war has actually influenced a lot of popular culture as well. There were a lot of movies that came out on that. There was a lot of literature that came out. I guess the most famous of it being "Ae Mere Watan Ke Logo Zara Aankh Mein Bhar Lo Pani," which was sung by Lata Mangeshkar, and till date it remains one of the most patriotic songs that a lot of people like. But to cut the long story short, the Indo-Chinese war till today remains a topic of discussion, especially looking at the newfound Indo-Chinese relations which are undergoing a paradigm shift. And to discuss that topic, I have with me a person who is sort of considered an authority on the subject of China. China has been a subject of his special interest. I have with me Parimal Maya Sudhakar.
Hello.
Welcome, Parimal, to Itihas. It's a privilege to have you here today. Let's go back to 1960s and let's understand what exactly prompted the Indo-Chinese war. All that we know till today is China waged a war on us and we lost it.
The war happened in a very complex background, and there were several reasons that ultimately led to war between India and China. The foremost reason was that the boundary between India and China, it was not acceptable, the boundary line was not acceptable to the new Chinese government that was led by Mao Zedong. And Communist Party of China, that established a socialist China in 1949, that said that the boundary was arbitrarily drawn by the British colonizers and insisted that India and China should redraw the map with mutual consent or mutual convenience. Indian authorities, on the other hand, maintained that India has inherited Indian state from British India, and whatever it got as a fight against Britishers, it would protect it and it's its legitimate land. So that was the basic conflict. The second issue that arose between India and China was that of the issue of Tibet. India provided refuge to thousands of Tibetans who fled Tibet because of Chinese oppression. And most importantly, Dalai Lama, the very young Dalai Lama who came to India in 1959, India accepted him as a guest and provided all facilities and refuge to him and his followers. That was something that has annoyed China a lot, and China always considered it as an anti-Chinese act on behalf of India, and China always feared that India would utilize Dalai Lama and his followers for anti-Chinese activities in Tibet from Indian land. One of the major motives on behalf of China to wage war against India was to keep pressure on India. If India tried to use Dalai Lama against China, then basically China would again wage a similar kind of war. Third aspect to this war was that in late 1940s and early 1950s, India and China were considered as emerging nations on the global stage. And both had an ambition of becoming leading powers in the world. And as a result of that, there was a kind of a rivalry or a competition that also emerged between India and China. And that was again mostly on behalf on the part of China, that China saw India as its competitor at the global stage. And therefore, to belittle Indian stature in the world, China utilized this entire rivalry between both the countries to quote unquote show India its place in Asia and the world. So this was the background in which the war happened.
The Indo-Chinese war was unique in many aspects, couple of which I would like to state is that both the nations did not use either navy or the air force. It was a complete land war. It was complete army to army war. Lasted about 3 weeks. Neither US nor Russia, which were considered two polar opposite ends of the world political spectrum at that point, they did not help us because of the ongoing Cuban crisis. We were kind of left on our own, and somehow there was a miscalculation or there was a misjudgment on Pandit Nehru's part, where he did not really anticipate that the Chinese government will attack in such a fashion, especially when the slogans of Hindi Chini Bhai Bhai were very strong. And we kind of naively believed that the Chinese government will sort of honor this particular sentiment. Chinese government, at one fine morning, they announced ceasefire and they retained the actual line of control and the war ended. What were the immediate after effects of that war?
In the short term, the morale of the public and morale of the government and government institutions was down. However, that was a short-term effect, and very soon, within a year or so, the government institutions were able to cope up with the situation. And if we look at the medium and long-term effects of the war, although was a tragic incident in Indian history, but the war actually had taught many lessons to India. And as a result of that, as India had taken all those lessons in a positive strides, there were many positive developments. Indian military and Indian political establishment, both of them seriously reviewed relationship with each other and what kind of system should be there at the time of crisis. So that system, which was not in existence from the time of independence, that system got established immediately after India-China war of 1962. Pandit Nehru made the then Chief Minister of Maharashtra, Yashwantrao Chauhan, to resign from chief ministership and appointed him as Defence Minister of India. And Yashwantrao Chauhan brought in many changes in the civic and military relationship, wherein the political establishment asserted its control over the army in a very positive way. That ultimately Indian government realized that it's the Indian government that should be and must be in the final control of whatever is happening or whatever the decisions that army is going to take. Otherwise, from independence, the situation was quite vague and no one was quite in the known of who is the ultimate authority when it comes to taking final military decisions. The second was that India started to pay more attention to defense procurement, that many more military equipments were purchased from the Western countries, from Soviet Union, etc. And India paid more attention to its defense requirements. That helped India in its war against Pakistan and Pakistan in 1965 and in 1971. And India also sharpened its diplomatic missions abroad to put forward its positions on its relationship with neighboring countries, particularly with China and Pakistan. Wherein when the actual war happened between India and China in 1962, Indian missions abroad were clueless how to explain the entire phenomena to the foreign countries, to foreign governments. Then India was much more prepared to explain the entire scenario to foreign countries when 1965 and 1971 war took place. So these were the positive effects of what actually happened in 1962. There was one negative effect, and the negative effect was after independence, India focused much more on its economic development and its all resources, most of the resources were utilized for economic development. But as a result of 62 war, many of the resources that were meant for economic development that got diverted towards defense preparedness. And as a result of that, economic development of India suffered in the decade of 1960s and early and decade of 1970s. There is the start that India had got in 1950s. That was a fabulous start. And if India would have continued on that path, then by late 1970s or early 1980s itself, India would have emerged as an economic superpower. But because of this lost decade from 1962 to 1972, wherein India fought three wars and spent much more on defense preparedness, so it had a negative impact on India's economic development.
So after we accepted the defeat in the war against China, a lot of time has passed and Indo-Chinese relations have evolved over time. How has this war or this particular defeat in war shaped our bilateral relations with China? Are there any stages that you have seen which have emerged over the years?
Definitely. After a bitter experience of 1962, the public anger against China was so strong that no government since 1962 attempted to mend fences with China. And there was a kind of the process of not believing China on any terms, which was there for almost for a decade or so. However, slowly the things turned, and in 1970s, there were many signals that emanated from China that it wanted to normalize relations. The first and the most important signal was when Mao died and Deng Xiaoping, he became supreme leader of China. He openly stated that China no longer would fight wars, or China no longer would intervene in other countries, and China would focus entirely on its own economic development. That was a statement which was quite in contrast with what Mao used to say, Mao was much more for establishing socialist system throughout the world, etc. But Deng Xiaoping very clearly stated that China has nothing to do with other countries and it would focus entirely on its own economic development. And for its own economic development, China wanted peace at its borders. This was specifically stated by Deng Xiaoping. So this was a major breakthrough and India viewed at it quite positively. This Chinese policy came in 1978-79. That time Atal Bihari Vajpayee was India's foreign minister, and taking advantage of it, Vajpayee decided to break ice with China and he went to China. That was the first major bilateral visit that took place after 1962. However, the hype that this visit had created, it really could not materialize because Vajpayee had to cut short his visit, because when Vajpayee was in China, at the same time conflict between China and Vietnam happened.
Oh.
And China intervened or China attacked Vietnam in 1979 briefly, and as a mark of unspoken protest, Vajpayee cut short his visit and he returned to India. Again, it took almost a decade when in 1988, Rajiv Gandhi decided to visit China. And that was a major breakthrough, that a week-long visit of Rajiv Gandhi to China, it established bilateral relationship to the level of 1950s, wherein both the countries decided to engage with each other on trade, on exchanges, cultural, educational, tourism sectors, etc. And also decided to resolve boundary issue through negotiations. And joint working groups were constituted in 1988 to resolve boundary issue. This was a major breakthrough. And then in 1990s, India and China relationship, it has grown quite steadily, wherein both the countries required each other at the global forum and also in bilateral trade, bilateral relationship. As many new global issues emerged and global organizations also emerged, India and China saw each other as partners, particularly in 1990s and early years of 21st century. They resisted Western countries' pressures on developing countries together. Or when China became member of World Trade Organization in 2002, then on many occasions, India and China had taken similar positions in WTO negotiations. So, India-China relations in this particular phase has reached to a new point, wherein both countries saw opportunities in cooperating with each other and keeping on the back seat the issues where their opinions diverge or where they don't agree with each other. So this was a major development that happened and it was a major stage in India-China bilateral relationship. This was also the period when Indian economy and Chinese economy grew quite fast. Although trade is much more balanced towards China or it's happening to the benefit of China, but the trade is happening and trade is growing consistently is a positive thing that has happened. And this stage continued, say, till 2012-13 or so.
Yes, there is a significant change in the Chinese behavior after 2012-13. So that plus where exactly do we stand today vis-a-vis China? We discuss this in the next part of this podcast. Stay tuned.